It's good, man.
Yeah, he does really. I really love the like the pre-roll that he does. Except for you better not do the pre. You better not put that first intro. You better not. But or else I'm gonna revoke my thank you. But you know, I'm kidding. I can't believe I did. I'm redoing that. I'm sorry. that was bad. That was bad. Okay. What's the Sportscast? Will the Sports Show show the Kings of Comedy? I'm Adam.
And I'm Carter.
And let's get right into it. Yeah, Colby, if you keep that previous intro in, please don't. That was bad. Yeah, like 5 seconds before this intro, for some reason, I like dumbed out and like just forgot to say my... Oh, dude, I'm having like cringe like so hard right now from that intro. What's the Sportscast? Will the Sports Stuff show the Kings of Comedy? I'm Adam. I can't believe I did. I'm redoing that. I'm sorry. What went on? That was bad. That was bad. Okay. Oh, no. Okay.
Award-winning shit right here.
But yeah. Anyways, on to updates. We won an award. We won. Or actually two awards.
Woo!
We talked about it last episode where we got nominated for two awards. It was General Excellence Audio and Sports Talk Show. And we won first for Best Sports Talk Show, back-to-back. Too good. And then for the General Excellence, we won third. Kind of feel like we got robbed, not going to lie. But, like, the two ones that were above us, one was, like, a full-on news station.
Yeah.
And then the other one was...
I'm low-key more proud of the third.
Yeah, I mean, it also, I was telling Carter this, we turned that in after the, like, after we kind of got more into our newer setup and, like, the newer mixer board and everything. Before. So that kind of, like, I feel like with all of our newer stuff, I mean, we should have really good, contention for getting first next year.
Yeah.
And plus, I mean, it gives us something to work for because, you know, this year we were working for, you know, progressing where we, you know, got the first again and then third and then we go first next year. You know, but yeah, and we were going to show the awards, but someone kind of forgot it in their room.
Listen, so man, it's finals week. I'm getting scheduled for the wrong days at work. I'm also a little dumb. So I forgot it.
You said you're a little dumb after I forgot my name and like our whole intro that we've done for 82 episodes at this point.
We're both dumb.
Yeah, that's true. But this is, we got this. This is the General Excellence third place one. It's kind of cool that they gave us two papers, so we both have one.
Yeah.
I mean, it would have been cool to have two plaques, but I mean, I get it because it costs money.
Yeah.
But this was our one from last year. I was actually kind of thinking.
It's the same award.
Yeah. It's basically, I mean, I feel like the new one that we have is a little cooler because it has, it doesn't have the pulse on it anymore.
Yeah.
And then it also says our full like episode. This one just says Sports Stuff episode 17.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like falling off a little bit. Like there wasn't enough space for it.
Yeah.
On like the plaque. So yeah. And this one also just says my name. So that's why we have the sticky note. I was thinking on getting like looking into how much it costs for just like maybe like a new plate or something.
It's not even a big deal.
Like, well, but it just looks not that good without the
especially,
sticky note.
Especially now that we have more than one.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter.
That's true. I mean, I still would rather have it, like, look aesthetically pleasing when we have it up and stuff without the sticky note and having both of our names on there, so.
We're going to have a whole trophy case at our new house.
Yeah, for real. But, yeah, since we didn't have the time to, you know, say our like, thank yous and stuff, I thought we can say our thank yous on here.
Yeah.
Do you want me to start?
Go ahead.
I just want,
you're probably
going
to cover most of them.
Yep. I just want to say thank you to Taya. I think that's a big one because Taya has been absolutely amazing.
Especially early on.
Yeah.
It helped us with a lot.
And, you know, she was always, like, super supportive as well. Like, she was even on staff when she, like, when we first met her, like, for the Pulse, when we were still with the Pulse. But she was just actively willing to help because she actually genuinely, like, loved doing, like, helping us out. And, I mean, we definitely would not be here as far as we were without Taya. She probably consisted of, like, 3,000 of our follows.
Yeah.
Like, and then our biggest, like, blow up videos have been her literally just talking. And so, honestly, so yeah, I mean, we definitely wouldn't have gone this far without Taya. So thank you, Taya. And also, I just wanted to shout out everyone who's like helped us out, like with the show and like setting up. So Colby, love Colby.
Yeah,
he's great. He's been doing our videos as of recently, and editing them. And they've been, I mean, my editing has been pretty trash, like when we did them. But I feel like it's pretty night and day with like all the editing Colby's done. It's compared to ours.
It's good, man.
Yeah, he does really. I really love the like the pre-roll that he does. Except for you better not do the pre. You better not put that first intro. You better not. But or else I'm gonna revoke my thank you. But you know, I'm kidding. But yeah, thank you, Colby. I really appreciate it. He's been really awesome. And as well, just some of the people who've like helped us out with like some of the games as well.
Yeah.
I feel like my brother. My brother's helped us out with a ton. Hanale, she's written some of our cards that we've written or be done. Amy as well. Thank you, Amy, for all the stuff that you've done. She's been really great and really cool. And she also called me the face of student media, so.
Nice.
Yeah, but, yeah. And also thank you, Mom, because I forgot to text you about the winning the award. So, I love you. And yeah.
I don't know, is there anyone you missed? I guess just thank you to the people that have come on. So Abby, Jonah, Nessie, Gage, Taya again.
Mm-hmm.
Am I missing one?
Gage.
I said Gage.
Oh.
I think that's all of them. So thank you.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Those episodes have been pretty fun with having everyone on. It's kind of like also a good like breath of fresh air when it's just like us two.
Yeah.
Which I mean I like doing it with just us two, but it's also like kind of cool.
It's fun
like,
to have a guest.
Sprinkle them in, you know. So, yeah. I mean, gonna win three-peat next year, but this year back to back, back to back. Jordan 96,
360 days away, and we're talking about.
I know. Job's not finished. I also won my award for my article that I got on women's basketball. See, I know my stuff. I know my stuff.
He doesn't.
I'm just, they don't need to know my knowledge, but at least I won an award. That was on the very first game of the year, too.
Really?
And I genuinely did not know what I was going to write about that article. Because I'm like, what storyline am I going to pick up here? And then all of a sudden, they happen to score the most points. And I'm like, oh, thank goodness. It's like an alley-oop. Like, it was so easy, but... Yeah, shout out to the women's basketball team as well for helping me win that award.
So
that was really
great.
Two
thank yous for Tay and two thank yous for Abby.
Yeah. we're definitely not going anywhere anytime soon. I mean, two was really grateful. Actually, three awards, but we still want only firsts. You know, we're like the big players in home. I don't know what I'm saying. I'm like. My brain is so scrambled this episode.
I can't even follow where that was on, where
it
that was
like,
going to go.
You know where players in baseball, there's like either home run or first base?
Yeah.
Type. That's what we're doing here. You know, we only hit home runs or thirds.
Yeah.
I don't know. No,
I guess.
Yeah.
I kind of get what
I
you're
don't
saying.
Know. It's been a long day. Yeah. But anyway.
This is finals week for us.
Yeah.
We're taking time out of finals week to record right now. So we're a little scrambled at the moment. But
yeah, and
we're so close, man.
Oh,
we're so close.
And even though Boise State School is kind of coming to a close, we're still planning on recording over the summer.
Yeah.
Don't know what that's gonna look like over the summer. Because we're both pretty busy. So we'll see. But I mean, at least it's gonna be more episodes than last year over the summer.
What did we do?
I think we got one and tried to record an extra one, but we just decided not to because it was so bad. But yeah, we'll be in person for that, and so that'll be really dope. But yeah, like I said, not going anywhere.
That like genuinely was a part of the decision for me to stay over summer. Was
really?
I did not want to do online episodes
anymore.
Dude,
it was so bad. It was so horrible over Zoom. Oh, man. Yeah.
Carter's time in Seattle is over.
What?
My time in Seattle is over.
You're just not going in Seattle again?
I mean, I'll visit. I'll visit family, but like, I'm not going back for summers anymore.
Oh, man.
Unfortunately, Idaho's my new home for a while.
So. Ooh.
And the second I graduate, I'm moving to Florida.
Yeah, I'm not staying in Boise for as long as I am, but as soon as I graduate, be good.
Where are you going?
I don't know. Not sure yet. Florida. You know, that's a great, great plan. I mean, I was thinking Florida. I was thinking Florida, Texas, New York.
Sports and stuff coming to you live from Cocoa, Florida.
Cocoa, Florida.
I love Cocoa.
I've actually only been to Florida once, and that was for Disneyland. That was it.
Disney World, yeah.
Disney World, my bad.
That's really close.
But, oh, is it?
Yeah, Cocoa's like an hour from Orlando.
Oh.
If that. Yeah. It's beautiful.
Man. Yeah, so I would be living an hour away from Disneyland when I grew up, and then an hour away fully
sick.
Grown from Disney World.
That would be sick. And, Universal Orlando, so good.
The thing is, though, is that, like, so once good. You go there and, like, you keep on going, it loses its, like, wow factor.
I disagree. I've been to Universal Orlando twice, and the second time I had a lot more fun.
Well, like, no, but for me, living next to, like, Disney World,
fair.
Disneyland.
I've never lived that close.
Like, I always live, like, that close. And we used to go, like, all the time. Like, there's a stint where we'd go every single week. Like, we just keep on going. Because we had, like, the year-long passes, so we just kept on just...
For, like, 10 years straight, when I lived in Spokane, we went to Silverwood every year. Mm. So that I kind of got a little bit of that. But I've only been once in the last, like, 4 years. So I'm trying to go this summer. Road trip?
Yeah, but you're not going to Seattle.
Road trip? I'll visit once or twice. No, yeah, I miss my family and everything. I just hate Western Washington. I can't do it anymore.
Oh, man. Yeah.
It's an awful place with too many memories. So, Boise it is, I guess.
I feel like you just got to go somewhere else new to, like, and you just kind of do something different. Because I feel like if you're doing the same old thing over and over and over again.
I've lived in Washington my entire life.
Yeah, like
I
just gotta go.
In Spokane until seventh grade, and then lived near Seattle until I came here. So, I am ready for Washington to not be part of my life anymore.
Yep, mine either. Just kidding.
Yeah,
but I guess we'll do a card and then move on to NFL draft. Back at the cards, probably gonna lose this episode too. But ice hockey.
I don't want to talk about hockey. Football.
Be like, who is the team that just lost? one, two, or three?
I just go one, I guess.
Oh, I've already asked that one. Okay. Dude. Okay, I guess let's see if you remember this answer. How many faceoff spots are on a standard hockey rink?
Dude, I don't remember.
One, four, five, or nine?
I remember it's not what it should be, so I'm going to say nine.
Yeah. The other one was literally... What NHL team is based in Toronto, Canada?
Oh, jeez.
Dude. That's stupid.
My friend Gabe is a huge Maple Leafs fan.
Oh, yeah.
So after my Avalanche loss yesterday, I asked him for advice on how to deal with playoff losses in hockey. Yeah.
What did he say?
Well, I'll tell you. Anyway, football, one, two, or three?
Three.
All right. Oh, okay. Which team was the first ever to enter the playoffs as a wild card team and go on to win the Super Bowl? The Raiders, the 49ers, the Eagles, or the Falcons?
Raiders.
I also thought that.
Well, at first I was thinking the Giants. That was like, I don't know why, but my very
they're
first...
They're just the most famous team to do it because they beat
true.
The perfect team.
Yeah.
But yeah. The Niners did it at least once, but I guess the Raiders were the first.
Yeah,
so
that's strange.
1-0.
Oh, wow, man.
W hockey. All right. So the NFL draft happened. We're recording this Monday, May 1st, so the draft was last week, and it was insane. I mean, I said it leading up to the draft that this was the least confident I felt in, like, any of the picks in a long time. And we really saw that. Like, it was wild. I mean, first player off the board, Bryce Young, not really a surprise. I think most people figured that was going to happen. And then C.J. Stroud goes too, which was a bit of a surprise, but not really.
I mean, it became more of a surprise because if you would have asked that a month ago, you would have said no. But... it was like with all the smoke screening of we might not even take a quarterback or actually.
You figured it had to be, though.
But the thing is I think they might have. I think they genuinely were torn against him and Anderson But then they were just like, screw it. We're just going to take both because we're so torn on them.
They took a huge risk. They traded their next year's their own first-round pick next year as well as their second first this year to move back up to three and take Will Anderson. So that's a big risk, especially for a team that's rebuilding. But
if they think they're surefire picks, then, like, why not?
They just got top two players. I mean, top three at worst, at the two most important positions in football, in my opinion.
Yeah.
They got one of the top quarterback prospects, and they got an edge.
Uh-huh.
And I like it. I'm 95% sure they still have a first next year. It's not their own, but I'm pretty sure they have one, which makes this a little better. And, I mean, the Cardinals, they're bad. They're really bad.
Yeah.
I was talking to my friend earlier today about what teams are in the worst position in the league right now, and we agreed it was the Cardinals. And other than them, the teams in the conversation are probably like Rams, Saints, Titans. But the Cardinals are in a really bad spot. However, they are currently favored to get pick 1 and 2 next year.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be Caleb.
Yeah.
If Kyler stays around, they could go Marvin Harrison Jr. and like they have a lot of options. I don't think the Texans are going to end at pick 2. I think they're going to be a little bit better than that. But it still is almost a guarantee to be 2 top 10 picks next year, which is good.
I don't know. Maybe I think if CJ Stroud can get it figured out, and I think, you know, with D'Amico Ryans, I think
I miss him already.
There are, like, you know, a thing in the league right now where it's like the the offensive coordinators becoming offensive coaches, like head coaches, is like a better trend at this point, where some of the more notorious teams and the more successful teams of them now are the offensive coaches. That was like his biggest knock. But I think he still is, he knows what he's doing. Robert Sala right now,
he's doing good.
It's a little strange because he's on a weird,
he's a defensive guy.
Yeah, I mean, Robert Sala, he's like on a, I feel like him, he still has 1 year to prove it, I feel like.
I don't know. Because I think he's done as good as he can so far.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. But for the most part, it's generally been offensive coaches that have been the only successful ones.
I'm trying to think of other defensive coaches that got hired.
I mean, like,
I'm
spacing. There's like Zach Taylor for offensive. There's Zach Taylor. I mean, Sean McDermott is a defensive coach.
Yeah.
But he's also great. I mean,
he's great.
He didn't have Brian Daboll, who was a really big piece, and their offense did start to like decline quite a bit this year.
Yeah, you lose a guy like Daboll, it's gonna hurt.
Yeah, but
still a good offense.
That's like the biggest trend right now, and that was his biggest knock. But right now, it seems like he's doing pretty well.
I
think
love
it just
him,
kind
man.
Of relies on Stroud doing really well. Like, I mean, but I think Stroud. I've been on like back and forth about if I think Stroud's gonna be a bust or not. I could kind of see
I could see
a Manning Leaf type of thing, not gonna lie. Where Peyton Manning, you know, Bryce Young, and then Ryan Leaf type
I really, really like Bryce Young. I really do. But he is so small, man.
I don't think that matters. I don't.
Well, it 100% matters. You can argue how much it matters, but it definitely matters. Like, it has an effect on the way he plays.
Yeah.
Like, look at Kyler and Kyler's bigger.
Yeah.
And it's not that close either.
But the thing is that,
like, think of what happened to Tua this year.
Yeah.
And Tua's a lot bigger than Bryce Young.
Tua's just took way too many hits on purpose. Like, Bryce is known to play this way. Like, he's learned to play
His
advantages and play against his disadvantages.
Think about Bama's team compared to the rest of college football versus what Carolina will be compared to the rest of the NFL. That offensive line is not, like, it's not elite. That's the nicest way I can put it. He's going to get hit, and probably a good amount. And I love him. I really do. He's an incredible player. He's super elusive in the pocket, which is really cool. I worry about him. I don't have doubts about him being a bad player.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. I think the only way he could bust is injuries and just his body not being able to handle the NFL game. I hope that he can. I really do. No one's rooting against
him. Well, he also did have an injury in his last year.
Yeah.
So.
And I just saw a picture of him at the Panthers facility. I think it was either today or yesterday. Of him, like, dapping up Brian Burns. And it looked like a dad and his kid. Like, it's...
Really?
And Brian Burns is not the biggest defensive lineman in the league by any means. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. I'm rooting for him. But Stroud, I like Stroud a lot. The more I watch of Stroud, the more I like him. And obviously, you know, I'm an Anthony Richardson guy. But Stroud and Young are right there for me. Like, I don't know who to put above the other. He's so accurate, and the big concern with him was mobility, but he showed against the best team in the country mobility. He was running. He was escaping the pocket. He had a play that was like, if you change the jerseys, it would be Mahomes against Georgia in that playoff game. I believe in him a lot, and they got, in my opinion, a top two defensive player in the class.
Mm-hmm.
Top three at worst, so... I really like what they did. It's going to sting a little bit if they end up with like second or third pick next year. But
do you know what I was thinking? With obviously everyone knows Will Levis fell to the second round, mm-hmm. and Anthony Richardson got picked fourth. That means that,
like I said, Levis is just a worse version.
But the thing is that actually works for Levis and against Richardson.
It does.
Because
absolutely.
Richardson was I would say the most volatile player and most, like, high upside, really low downside.
He's one of the most high volatile, like, prospects I've ever seen.
Yeah, like, he could be really good or really bad, and him going third puts a ton of more pressure, where people who thought Levis would be a bust, he wouldn't be as big of a bust since he fell to the second round.
It's like Malik Willis last year.
Yeah, I would say like that. Like, pressure's off of him.
And they're on the same team.
He can actually, you know, yeah. Which, I mean, I think Levis is going to do well, if I'm going to be honest.
So I have been kind of hating on Levis on the show and just in general because I hated the idea of him top five. Mm-hmm. And or even top 10. I've seen a lot of Colts. I've seen a lot of Raiders. I was even seeing some Texans and Panthers. In the second round, second pick of the second round, I like that a lot. I think that makes him a good pick. He will beat out Malik Willis for the backup job.
100%.
100%. And I would be shocked if he doesn't start at least a couple games this year. Because Tannehill, apart from just not being that great, Tannehill's like 34, 35 years old. The Titans are like one step away from going full-on rebuild, that one step being trading Derrick Henry. And so I'd be surprised if due to injury, poor play, or just... let's see what we got. He doesn't start a few games this year.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he's in a decent spot. His team's not going to be good for a while. But
that's true.
I think that that's okay. I think that gives him some time to work out some things he needs to work out. And by the time they are good.
And if they do suck, that means that they're going to give him more chances to play. Kind of like Carson Wentz and Jalen Hurts, where the Eagles started to suck. So what they started to do was play Jalen a little bit more, So I think that might be something that
started to suck. That was,
yeah, that's true. But
I'm still,
I think,
so sad about that.
I think that that's something where I really do think that Levis is in a really good opportunity to succeed and do pretty well. And I mean, obviously the Titans aren't the most ideal situation, but I mean, Josh Allen also landed on the Bills that weren't that great before he got there.
This is not a bad situation for him.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think this is...
in terms of team success, yeah, it's one of the worst situations. Don't get me wrong.
I mean, he probably got put on the best, like, he probably got the best situation of all the quarterbacks.
This is...
I mean,
I
would say...
I think Richardson did.
That one is...
Richardson
is
in a good
spot,
man.
Because, I mean, the Colts kind of know what they're doing. It's just their issue has been... the quarterback, and I think that's something.
Why
that puts so much pressure on him.
I love it, though. I love it, because, like...
I think Anthony Richardson...
They've spent the last 5 years cycling through veterans who can keep a good team afloat but can't make a good team a contender. Anthony Richardson has a chance to be a generational bust. He does, okay? Like, the floor is very low, but the ceiling is MVP. And I think that the Colts got tired of just bridge quarterback to bridge quarterback to bridge quarterback.
They wanted to be more aggressive.
They took a swing. And even if it doesn't work out, 5 years from now, let's say Anthony Richardson's out of the league, which would be awful, but say it happens, I think they can look back and still be happy about the decision, or at least defend the decision.
I mean, I respect it. I just think
I think it's the right choice.
I just think Richardson, and I've said this before, I did not like what I really saw from Alabama. Apart from his game against Utah, which he played really well, but he had a ton of mistakes in that game as well.
Yeah, he's a raw player. He's gonna make mistakes.
I just can't shake off the fact that I just think I don't know. I think that he's not going to do as great, in my personal opinion. I think that he has potential. He could be really good, but I just don't see it, if I'm going to be honest.
If he puts it all together, he's like a top three quarterback in the
league.
Yeah,
but I just don't think he will.
It's a big if, but I think he's going to do it. He's got all the tools, and honestly, all my arguments for him are almost identical to my arguments for Trey Lance.
Yeah. Because
they were very similar prospects in my mind. And the biggest thing with Anthony Richardson, which I still think is the biggest thing with Lance, you need to let him play and you need to be patient. Because it's not going to be pretty for probably the first whole year. It probably won't be. But you need to let him play. And you need to be patient. And I think he's in a good spot. I mean, they've got some pretty good weapons around him. And the O-line, not last year, but the year before, was one of the best in the league. Last year, they were mid. But if they can retain that 2021 form, then he's going to be in a really good spot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely agree. I could see that. But here are kind of, I don't know how to describe it, our best picks or notable picks, I guess.
Just like
our top notable picks.
First round picks we thought were like, yeah, good pick when we watched it.
My personal best pick was Jalen Carter to the Eagles. I think that was a really good pick. And I feel like everyone's like joking with the Eagles how they only choose Bama and Georgia players. But like, I mean, those are the two best teams. Like,
why not?
I mean, yeah, like you're going to take a risk on a...
What was it? Did they pick him at 9 or 10? I think it was 10.
I actually think it was 11. I'm pretty sure.
I thought it was 10. Either way. I mean, they got arguably the best player in the draft. He has a good argument as anybody to be the best player in the draft. And they got him that far down the board.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand there's some off-the-field stuff. But he is an incredible player. Like, just so good.
Mm-hmm.
And they lost Javon Hargrave to San Francisco this offseason. So what do? They refill it with an elite prospect. The Eagles did really good.
Yeah. And I think that was, I mean, they're building something that's really good.
Yeah.
And I feel like they had a really good draft last year as well.
Yeah.
Just taking just the biggest players, like biggest and athletically gifted players.
I think they're building the right blueprint.
Oh, man.
Because in my opinion, I think the best way to build a team is inside out. Offensive and defensive line, and then move out.
Yeah, that's right? True.
That's what the Eagles are doing. That's what the Niners are doing. Now, obviously, neither of them have won a Super Bowl with that strategy yet. I guess the Eagles won one recently. But still, these are two teams that are going to be in NFC contention for a long time because of that inside out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, playoff games are won in the trenches unless you have Patrick Mahomes.
And if you think about it, all the consistent teams that have gone to the playoffs and have been in contention, like the Packers, the Patriots, the Broncos when they used to have that, like with Peyton Manning, it's all been on the line. And that's something that's really big because the line, if you have a really good line, then that opens up the opportunity where you could run if you want to or you could pass if you want to. Like it just basically gives you that option. And I mean, we obviously know with like
I think the pass rush is the biggest thing because a really good secondary can kind of cover up a bad pass rush. Kind of. An elite pass rush can cover up a bad secondary.
I think offensive line is more valuable in a sense because it's kind of like the argument between corner and receiver where it's easier to play receiver because you're going forward and you know what you're doing. Where corner, you don't know what you're doing, and you just have to mimic. And that's the same thing with offensive line and defensive line, where the defensive line knows what they're doing. They're just trying to get the quarterback. Mm-hmm. And the offensive line just needs to kind of gauge off of what they're doing. Like, are they going to try to bull rush? Are they going to try to spin move?
I don't know.
And they're on the more defensive side.
I get what you're saying there. Like, and that is true.
They have to stop someone going straight at them. Like,
on the other hand, though,
sit there and then do it.
Like, offensive line has different blocking schemes. They do, like, they pull guards for traps.
That's true.
They all run out for sweeps. So there are also a lot of times where the offensive line knows something's going to happen and the defensive line has to react. So
yeah.
It's, you know, it goes both. I think it goes both ways there more than receiver and corner does.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the receiver always knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think inside out is a really good way to build a team. Obviously, when there's a guy like Patrick Mahomes, the most talented quarterback ever in the league, like that's going to happen. Like, mm-hmm. no matter how good you build the trenches, like the Eagles were almost a perfect team last year. Like,
well, they're a way better team just all around than the Eagles.
You take quarterbacks off the rosters, off of all rosters. The two NFC championship teams are the two best teams in the league.
Yeah.
The two AFC championship teams are not.
Yeah.
The Bengals are a good roster, don't get me wrong, but they're not.
It just came down to quarterback there. Like,
yeah, and the Chiefs, that roster's not that great.
Yeah.
Like, it's not bad, but it's not that great. Like, that, there is no reason that team should win the Super Bowl. You put any other quarterback in that spot, they don't win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, 100%.
So that's just yet another testament to the greatness of Mahomes. And
mm-hmm.
I mean, they lost more pieces this offseason, and they should still be the Super Bowl favorite because of one guy, man.
Yeah, it's so ridiculous.
Yeah.
But
yeah, Jalen Carter is your best pick.
Mm-hmm.
And then
I also do have this notable honorable mention. I do like this. I mean, I'm a Packers fan, but I do love this Addison pick from Vikings.
Yeah.
I think this goes really complimentary with Justin Jefferson. I mean, the biggest question mark is who's going to throw to him. But I think that, once they figure that out.
Kirk gets too much hate, bro.
Well,
Kirk's a good QB.
I like Kirk, but the thing is that the Vikings are still doing this limbo where if they actually want to keep him. I thought they were just going to keep him, but they're still doing this limbo right now.
I don't know what other option they have right now. I would be shocked if anyone else starts for them this year.
Mm-hmm.
As far as next year, who knows? Like, he's always in rumors, but I feel like at this point it's kind of too late. Like, what options
Who is it, Kilimond?
It's like their only option is to trade for Lance or something. Yeah. And I don't think they're going to do that. So anyway, but yeah, actually, I like the Addison fit too.
Never mind. I for a second, I thought their quarterback or their head coach was from the 49ers, but it was the Rams. But
yeah.
Was he under the Shanahan tree?
I mean,
was he?
Not
was
really.
He just McVay? He might have been just McVay. If he had connections with Shanahan, people try to put McVay
in the Shanahan thing sometimes, but they worked together. Like, McVay wasn't under him, I don't think. The Shanahan tree is pretty much just Ryan, Saleh, McDaniel right now.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I like the Addison pick too. That's gonna be fun to watch.
Yep.
For mine, I think the best pick of the entire draft was either Jalen Carter or Christian Gonzalez at 17 to the Patriots. He's the best cornerback in the draft, and I think the third best defensive player in the draft in general.
And I feel like corners, we already kind of touched on it, they have a really big role. Like, a really good corner mm-hmm. is kind of hard to come by.
And he's going to a Belichick defense right now. Like, he's going to succeed. I'm saying this right now. And you can keep this on record. Obviously, it's recorded. Mm-hmm. That's stupid. But anyway, Christian Gonzalez will be an All-Pro on his rookie contract. At some point in this first 4 or 5 years, he will be an All-Pro.
Yeah, I could see that.
He is unreal. Like, he's awesome. Witherspoon was definitely the cornerback two for me, and he's great. But I just think Gonzalez is so good. Like, I love him.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also think Nolan Smith to the Eagles at, what was it? I think 30.
Yeah.
Crazy good pick. Really mm-hmm. good value. He's a guy that was getting a lot of people thought the Eagles were going to get him at 10, and they got him at 30. So yeah, we both have an Eagles Georgia pick in here.
That's true.
Which is foreshadowing a future category. But mm-hmm. yeah, as far as biggest steals, so this is guys
This one was in the second round for me, and it was Michael Mayer.
We went guys outside the first round.
Yeah. I picked this one because I thought he was definitely going to go first round. And, I mean, he's arguably probably, I mean, you could say, but I think he was arguably one of the, at least, at worst, top two, top three tight ends.
I mean, 100%.
Some people say he was first, and he was the first one to go off the board. So I think that is...
He wasn't first off the board.
No. Wait, who was the first one?
Kincaid.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
To the Bills.
And they moved up for him. Yeah. Which I think this was a big steal. I think, you know, athletically, he has it. I like Kincaid, man.
I like Kincaid.
I think Michael Mayer might be the first one, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to know. And Darnell Washington, I don't like the landing spot with the Steelers because he's going to have to battle with Freiermuth.
Mm-hmm.
He's also really raw, but he has the potential to be unreal. Mm-hmm. So those are my three. But
yeah,
as far as my biggest steal, it's got to be Brian Branch to the Lions at, I think it was 45. Just a stupidly good pick. I don't think there's any reason he shouldn't have gone first round. And I think that of the Lions' first three picks,
it's kind of hard to...
Their third pick was the guy who most warranted being 12th overall.
Yeah.
They went Jahmyr Gibbs, Jack Campbell, right? And then Brian Branch.
Their first two picks were bad.
Brian Branch should have been the highest draft prospect of all of them. It's funny. The Lions, if you look at their draft with the pick numbers there, it doesn't look great. When you rearrange the draft class in a different way, like same guys,
yeah, it looks
in a different order.
Pretty decent.
It's a really good draft.
Yeah, that's true.
So, yeah, Brian Branch is awesome. He's a player I really, really, really liked. So I think getting him in the second is one of the biggest steals of the whole draft.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and going off of that, I think biggest whiff, I guess. I had to go with Jahmyr Gibbs. Not like disrespect to him as a player, but going that early
as a
running back where they could have gotten a better player at that point. Like, I think that they had so much potential at that pick to get other players that would have had a really big impact on their team. And then
he's going to have a big impact.
They end up going Jahmyr Gibbs, and they also had Swift on the team, which Swift wasn't bad.
Swift is not very good.
I think
Swift is very overrated.
Yeah, I would say. I mean, I would agree with that.
Hence why he got traded for so little.
Yeah,
but I think that I totally get why people see this as a miss. I really do. But I also see the Lions side of this. So when you look at their reaction in the war room after you got drafted, they were really, really excited. Okay, they didn't even wait till 18 to take him. It makes me think that they knew someone wanted him. I don't know, but it makes me think that they knew someone wanted him. They wanted to move on from Swift, rightfully so. So they had a hole there. I get it. I don't love it. I think that I would have been comfortable with Gibbs back half of the first round, definitely in the second round. I don't know. I mean, to get Brian Branch and Jahmyr Gibbs... I don't love where they got Gibbs, but Brian Branch, I think, is one of the biggest steals. So when you look at their draft class as a whole, I think it clicks. But yeah, taking a running back at 12 in that situation is iffy.
But then that also goes into your pick.
Yeah, it does. I put Bijan Robinson as one of my biggest whiffs here. And I'll explain, because Bijan Robinson, I think, is a top five player in the class. Don't get me wrong.
He's my personal favorite.
One of the best players in the draft. One of the best running back prospects I've ever seen. And I may be talking myself out of him being the biggest whiff as I speak. But I don't like it for the Falcons.
Yeah.
I have no problem with Bijan Robinson going top 10. I think he should have gone top 10. Honestly, I think it probably should have been the Eagles. But
yeah,
he's an elite player. I just don't like it for the Falcons. The Falcons just had a rookie 1,000-yard rusher last year. Okay, they don't have an answer at quarterback right now, unless Ridder becomes anything. But
I think they shouldn't have picked him there. I mean,
it is so
they
rare.
Had other needs.
It's rare that a running back gets a second contract with the team he's drafted to. So you get five, realistically, you get 5 years of Bijan if you're the Falcons. I don't think they're going to put it together in that 5 years. I understand the best player available strategy, but I think you got to build. There are so many holes on the Falcons roster, and running back wasn't really one of them.
Yeah.
Algier did good.
That's
man.
Probably one of their most like stable positions.
Algier is definitely not who you want to be your number one running back. Don't get me wrong. But he's good enough to where you shouldn't take a running back at 8 with the talent on the board.
Yeah.
With Jalen Carter on the board, with Christian Gonzalez on the board. I just don't like the pick for the Falcons at all.
Yeah.
That being said, I think Bijan Robinson's going to be incredible there. I just don't think the team is going to be good, and I think this is a big reason why. I really don't like it.
Yeah, I definitely agree.
And again, nothing against Bijan. I think he's top 3 to 5 player in the entire class. But.
And then going on to our who won, ultimately, I think in the first round, I would say the Texans. I think that, you know, I really respect the move for them to move up to third. It really did shock me at first because I'm like, wait, I thought that was a glitch on my phone.
I like it.
I liked them moving up and taking because that means they're aggressive. They're not going to go, oh, let's wait until next year to maybe see if we get a mid-round pick. Because I think what they're doing, what they think, is that they're definitely not going to go win 2 games and that's
right.
That's it and get a top pick again. So they're like, why don't we just use this chance to get another top pick? And I don't think they really – I don't think they gave up as much for as they should have.
A lot.
For that pick to get number 3.
12 and their next year's first. That's a lot.
Yeah, but you see like Trey –
And there's more.
There's been teams who've given up like 3 first-round picks for to get up there. Like,
yeah, it's a little different when you know they're not targeting a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
I think that they got off pretty lightly with that. And I think that that's something that they...
Another thing if they is got, when the Niners made that trade, were a contender. So those picks are all like 28, 29.
Yeah, it's
the Texans
true.
Are probably going to be top 10 again next year.
Yeah, but I mean...
I do see what you're saying.
And I think that, you know, they're just moving up this year to get a better player. And that's just, you know, going now where next year, you know, edge rusher might not be as great of a class in their opinion or in their eyes. So they're getting someone that they think is really good this year.
Yeah,
and
what we need to understand is these are NFL teams.
Yeah.
They're scouting the players that are coming out next year. Like, they've already done work on those guys. So
yeah.
If they, through the work they've done, if they don't like the edge class coming out or don't think that they'll be in a position to get one of the ones they like, why not go get the best one in the draft?
Yeah.
Like, you have the resources to do it. Now they have potentially a franchise cornerstone on one side of the ball and a franchise cornerstone on the other side of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
It's a huge risk, but I think it's a smart one.
Yeah. And, I mean, aggressiveness sometimes, if you know what you're doing, pays off. And I think that they know what they're doing, and I think it's probably going to pay off for the
most
part.
Yeah.
So I definitely pick the Texans there.
I'm between a few teams. I mean, the Eagles are an easy answer. They got 2 of the biggest steals in the first round, and just a good class overall, man.
Mm-hmm.
The Steelers had a really good, really deep class. Darnell Washington in the 3rd. I like it for the Steelers. I don't like it for Washington's individual production.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, that tandem of Washington and Freiermuth could be really dangerous.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of who else. I mean, the Patriots off the Gonzalez pick alone I love.
Mm-hmm.
I'm probably going to stick with the Eagles, though. As much as it pains me to say it, they had holes from the offseason and they filled them with young players that should have gone
cheaper too.
That are cheap and should have gone earlier than they did. Like
mm-hmm.
The Eagles did a really good job, and I mean I don't think Swift is as good as he gets credit for, but he's not a bad running back, and what they traded for him, like that's yeah, I think another good move.
Yeah,
I think that's all for the NFL. I mean, now we wait till the season starts.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully some interesting trades happen or something. Oh, one more NFL thing. Aaron Rodgers is working out in May.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's great.
There's videos of him like throwing to Garrett Wilson and Alan Lazard, and you know, Aaron Rodgers doesn't usually work out in May. But
yeah,
it seems like he's locked in. So
oh well.
Watch out for the Jets, man. They could be really good.
Yeah.
The Jets. Oh, one of my favorite picks of the draft. Izzy Abanaconda. Abanaconda. I don't know how to say his name. The Pittsburgh running back. Amazing. He and Breece Hall are going to be awesome together. He was my sleeper running back of the draft. So,
yep.
Just wanted to slide that in there. But we'll pull a card and talk about some NBA.
All sports.
Baseball. One, two, or three?
Let's go two.
Dang it. One of them. Okay. Yeah, I already asked you the one I want to ask you. Which MLB player was the first to ever sign a $1 million per season contract? Babe Ruth, Barry Bonds, Dwight Gooden, or Nolan Ryan?
Barry Bonds?
Nolan Ryan.
Damn it! I was about to say Nolan, and I'm like...
Barry was too late.
That's what I was thinking. I'm like, ah, no, that pisses me off.
All right, still 1-0. Dude. I have all sports?
Yeah.
Just give me one more.
All right. Which holiday does every soccer team in the English Premier League traditionally play on each year? Boxing Day, 4th of July, Remembrance Day, or Thanksgiving?
Okay. Let's think here. 4th of July wouldn't make sense because that's just the anniversary of those boys losing to us. You know what I'm saying? Boxing Day is a Canadian thing, I know. I don't know if it's anywhere else. I could look really stupid. What were the other two?
Remembrance or Thanksgiving?
I'm gonna go Thanksgiving.
Nope, Boxing Day.
What? I thought that was just a Canadian thing.
I didn't even know what Boxing Day is.
Ah.
Man, still 1-0.
Dang it.
And we headed off into the NBA playoffs. The very first thing here that we have on this list is Steph Curry. In my opinion, he just solidified himself as the best point guard of all time.
I think he already was.
Yeah. I mean, there were still people who had some doubts. I think he eliminated all doubt whatsoever.
It's really close. Like, it's splitting hairs, I think, because Magic, a lot of people dropped Curry's stat line yesterday, and they were like, Magic's not doing this. Magic's not doing that. Magic dropped like 40, 15, and 7 in a closeout finals game as a rookie playing center.
Yeah.
Curry's not doing that. So they both do things the other can't do. I think players are so much more talented today than they've ever been. And obviously the three-point line is much more used today than it was back then. It's really close. It really is. Curry's got accolades. He's got...
And Curry completely changed the game. Like, he's the reason they use the line...
And a lot of people hate that.
...as more.
I don't hate it. I mean, I think Curry changed the game as much or more than anyone in NBA history.
Yeah.
I would say. But... Yeah, I don't know. It's so close, man. I go back and forth. I want to give the edge to Curry. I do. But I don't know. I wish Magic's career didn't get cut short like it did. Anyway, he dropped 50 in a Game 7, which is the most ever in a Game 7 in the playoffs, and eliminated the Kings. They were the lower seed, but they were favored throughout the whole series, so kind of an upset, kind of. It sets up yet another LeBron versus Curry playoff series.
For the fifth time.
Easily the least important so far, but this is probably going to be the last one. I mean, yeah. All things considered. LeBron's 38 years old. Curry's
35?
34, 35, something like that. This is probably going to be the last one, which is really sad to think about, because even though the score is a little lopsided, I think this is the best rivalry in our generation.
Yeah.
For sure. So... It's going to be fun to see. The Warriors will obviously have home court.
I feel like Curry
advantage.
Has way more accolades instead of the Warriors. But
no,
it's
doesn't.
Like LeBron.
Accolades?
I mean, championships.
Okay, yeah.
My bad. I should have clarified that.
I was going to say LeBron's got accolades. But
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the Warriors have got the best of LeBron most of the time. They've also had the significantly better team. I think this one's going to be interesting. I think the teams are probably the most even now of any series these two have played against each other. My one question is LeBron healthy? Because he wasn't in the first round, and he did not play great, in all honesty. And I say that as the biggest LeBron fan I know. He did not play very good. He shot like 20% from three in that series. It was rough. If he's healthy, I love the Lakers here. If he's not, I like the Lakers here. I'm going Lakers in six. I just think LeBron and AD are, they're different animals than what the Kings are. And I think that obviously they're the seven seed, but they're not a normal seven seed. As I've said on probably every episode since the playoffs started, since the trade deadline, they've been one of the best teams in the entire league. I think they keep that up and get the series win here. But I think regardless of what happens, it's going to be awesome to see. I just really hope everyone's healthy.
Yeah, for me, I got to go the Warriors. I think the Warriors are going to win it. I did make a joke that I was like Warriors in five. I don't think it's going to be Warriors in five. I think it's going to be Warriors in seven. But I think this one definitely is going to go down to six or seven games.
I hope so.
Yeah, and I mean, I doubt either team's going to lop. Like, it's going to be lopsided.
Yeah.
And I don't know. We'll definitely have to see. But I definitely think that the Warriors are going to pull it out.
I'm realizing I forgot to put this in as we're reading this off, but this is the first time in NBA history that the conference semifinals have looked like this. There is 1-1 seed, 1-2, 1-3, 1-4, 1-5, 1-6, 1-7, 1-8. There's one of each seed.
Dude,
which
that's
I think is
funny.
Awesome. We'll talk about the other West series right now, which is Suns-Nuggets. Nuggets the one, Suns the four, of course. Nuggets dominated game one. It was not, like, it was not very close. And they play again tonight, Monday night. Nuggets are favored again. It'll be interesting to see. I don't know. Going into the series, I liked the Suns, but
after that game, it kind of was.
It's tough to pick them after that game, but you also can't let one game sway everything.
Yeah. I mean, also, just like the Warriors went down 2-0 pretty convincingly, and everyone was like, oh, it's over.
Those games were close, though.
I don't know.
Like the Warriors, the Warriors were there. The Suns looked like they didn't belong.
Yeah.
In the same court as the Nuggets, and I mean that's a little exaggerated, but I don't know. I'm excited to see how that series shakes out. Hopefully, the Suns put it together tonight and give us a better game. But in the East, we got the 8-seeded Heat versus the 5-seeded Knicks. The Heat took Game One. Really fun game to watch. Jimmy Butler hooped again, but hurt his ankle. And he was down for a long time. He came back in the game on the next play because they took a timeout. But he wasn't doing anything. Like, he was limping around on defense, and he was literally just standing in the corner, like, directing traffic on offense. So if Jimmy's healthy, I really, really, really like the Heat here in five or six.
If he's not, then they're losing, I definitely
If
think.
He's not, but he's playing, I still like them to win the series. If he's not and he's not playing, they have no chance.
Like, yeah.
They're already missing Tyler Hero, and losing Jimmy Butler would, I mean, that would end them.
That would be detrimental, way bad.
But I'm excited to see how that series goes. It's, I mean, those two fan bases are so at each other's throats right now.
And I know.
It's awesome to watch. And then the last one, Sixers-Celtics. And similar to my question about the Heat series and the Lakers series.
Embiid isn't playing now, they just announced.
Oh, he's not playing game
one?
So,
yeah.
Yeah, that's not good. The Sixers without Embiid are not going to beat the Celtics, at least in a full series.
Yeah.
It just sucks, man. I wish everyone was healthy for the whole playoffs.
I mean, Embiid, that's his biggest thing, his whole career. The story of his whole career is if he's healthy, if he's not. Like,
it's been almost every series. I mean, Jimmy's hurt right now. LeBron's hurt, Embiid's
hurt,
Giannis was hurt, Ja and De'Aaron Fox were both hurt. Like, it sucks, but, you know, it's part of the game. Yeah, I would say, going down the line, Lakers in six over the Warriors. I'm going to take the Celtics in, I don't know, man. If Embiid was healthy, it's going to seven, I think. But I'm taking Celtics in five. Suns Nuggets, I like the Nuggets and honestly, I like the Nuggets in five. I really hope I'm wrong. I really do, but they look good. And then Heat Knicks, I'm going to take the Heat in six.
I'll take Suns in six. I think that this one, although the Nuggets did do really well, I think the Heat, or no, the Suns are going to absolutely turn it around. And I think that they're going to absolutely just like smack the Nuggets in the next game.
I'd like to see it.
That's going to decide the whole series.
I would love to see the Suns win, because that means either way, the conference finals is either KD versus LeBron or KD versus Curry. And those are both matchups I really want to see.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's where we're at in the NBA right now. There's two games tonight, I want to say.
Yeah. So I know Sixers-Celtics is today.
Sixers-Celtics and Nuggets-Suns
yeah.
are both today. So we'll see how those go. And our last topic of the day.
I think the most notable one that everyone's talking about is the Boston Bruins. They ended up losing in the first round, or eliminated in the first round, yeah. which they came in
a
being
series
arguably...
they had a lead in, by the way. Like, they had yeah. they had multiple opportunities to
and
close it out.
They were arguably the number one team of all time. Like, the best
they had the
regular
best regular
game
season record ever.
Yeah, like, and probably the best regular season performance ever, like regardless of the record. Like,
insanely good, and... because of this, now, in all four major U.S. sports leagues, the team with the best regular season record of all time, none of them have won the championship.
Yeah.
The Bruins, this year, got bounced in the first round. The Warriors, in 2016, got LeBron'd. The Patriots got Eli Manning'd.
Yep.
And the Mariners lost to, I believe it was the Yankees, the year they had a stupid amount of wins, the most ever. So, yeah. Don't be the best team of all time if you want to win a championship. Apparently, that's yep. how it works.
And then before we close off, the Avalanche also lost, so they're not repeating. You know, we went back-to-back, but the Avalanche didn't. So, I mean, at least one of us did.
How do we lose to the Kraken?
Yeah.
Also, I've only been watching hockey a couple years, so I don't know what the record is for most goals disallowed in a series. But, man, we had to be close, because every game there was...
Man,
we had two last night alone. Both, I think they were both MacKinnon too.
Mm.
We lost by one.
Yeah, it should be fun.
But don't get me wrong, especially on one of them, he was definitely offsides, 100%. Yeah. It's just, it pisses me off that they can wait so long, go back and review it, and take a goal off the board. It changes the whole game. But I digress. Avalanche back to win it all next year. This year, it's gonna be.
Doubt it.
I don't even know who it's going to be, honestly. I thought it was for sure going to be the Avalanche or the Bruins.
Yeah, I mean...
the Leafs look good, but I'd feel stupid picking the Leafs to win anything.
But
watch out for the Panthers, man.
Oh, well. So that's all about the time we have for today. Thank you for listening to us, and thank you for being here for 82 episodes at this point and helping us win awards. So... thank you so much. And yeah, make sure to follow us on all of our social media platforms, Sports SF Show. And yeah, we'll see you in the next one.
Peace.